Wir haben Schimmel mit dem Lehrer Lomer. Als Schlosser dwar im Ha'olam Omed. Al Hadin wa al Ha'emes wa al Ha'shalom. Rabbi Yonah comments here in Avos. Wir haben Schimmel mit dem Lehrer Lomer. Als Schlosser dwar im Ha'olam kayim al hadin sheyodun din emes la'mita. Va'al ha'emes sheyesh la'odam la'lechaz b'darkei ha'tshuva shehu emes v'saraso emes v'holech b'darkei ha'kodesh baruch hu emes gam ken yelech ba'oso ha'derech sh'nema v'holachto b'drachav. Ve'amu chazal she'afilu sipur dvarim ba'alma ein lo la'odom l'shaker. Ki ahu uvda debrei derav, amalei ma'alla imach, amalei anohu da'afich nala. Amalei haynu da'me'in she'de nofek mimach ta'me yalfach, ba'at lo ta'ved mishum ch'nem ma'limdu l'shonim da'be shaker. Rabbeinu Yonah here identifies at least two distinct mechayvim for why a person has to cling to midas ha'emes in an uncompromising way. One is that it's mandated by the mitzvah of halachta bedrachav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes. His Torah is emes. Everything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes, is real, is true, is genuine, is authentic. And Memela, the mitzvah of Halachta B'Drachav, is mechayev, that we have to be real and authentic and emistic in what we do, in what we say. That's one mechayev of emes. But then Rabbeinu Yonah quotes from the Gemara in Yevamos, which in turn quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Anavi, Yirmiyahu, of limdu lashonim daber sheker. That they trained themselves, literally, they trained their tongue to speak falsehood. The Gemara tells a story that whatever Rav's wife used to be mitzaryah him, whatever Rav would ask, she'd ask Rav what he wants for dinner, and then she'd serve the opposite. If he'd say milchiks, she'd serve fleshiks. He'd say fleshiks, she'd serve milchiks. Then one day, he made his request via his son, as usual, and much to his astonishment, he got what he asked for. So he inquired, and his son told him, "No, what happened was, I told mommy the opposite of what you said." So then Memela, when she reversed psychology, right? And then Mamela, when she did the opposite of what I told her, so you go, you want it. And basically, Rav answers him, but you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to say that I said milchiks if in fact I said fleshiks, because limdu lashonim da'ber sheker. Rabbi Yonah explains what this behavioral yesod is. Ki ha'odam ha'margil l'shona l'dabir sheker b'ein b'dovish t'ein b'lo hefzeh b'lo to'alas. If a person allows himself to speak falsehood, even if the subject matter is inconsequential, Yavol adabe gam ki yavol adabe dvarim shel ika lo yuchal lomer emes. If a person habitually is not makpid 100% to every kutzo shel yud in terms of emes, even if that habit develops in inconsequential matters. Lemaisa, it carries over to and spills over to other areas, including dvarim ha'omdim b'ruma shel olam. To sort of give a parallel phenomenon to help us understand this, again, behavioral yisod of the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, the Gemara of Rabbeinu Yonah. Let's say in the military, the obedience that soldiers have to the commanding officers is absolute. You have to follow what the commanding officer says to the T. The respect that the soldiers have for the officers, again, is something which has to be evident at all times. Kein hamafaked, lo hamafaked. Everything has to be, in addition, in the military, everything has to be done precisely. You make your bed, so your bed can't have a wrinkle in it. Why? If your bed has a wrinkle in it, so that affects national security. If you don't greet your commanding officer with the utmost respect, that affects national security? So the answer is yes, it actually does. If a person allows himself in inconsequential contexts to be imprecise when he's in the military, so then that habit of imprecision can, Rahmana Litzlan, surface on the battlefield when Hamavis V'Achayim hang in the balance. If there isn't this sense of total hachna'a before the commanding officer, if it's habitual to challenge the commanding officer, maybe to challenge him on dvarim shel mabachach, on things which are inconsequential, so then maybe a person is going to hesitate for a split moment in carrying out an order in the midst of a battle, Rachmana Litzlan. And that could make the difference between life and death. So military discipline is built on this yesod, that habits which are developed even in inconsequential contexts will inevitably surface in consequential contexts. The Bali Musa emphasized this very much. They were very makpid on Seder in how you put your shoes down. How is that a dava omed b'ruma shel olam? It was the same yisod. Habits are become rooted in and shape character, and the character is present and will manifest itself in significant and consequential contexts and ways as well. And that's what this yisod of Limdu Lashonim Daber Sheker is. If a person is not makpid on every kutzo shel yud in MS in every context? If he doesn't hold himself to an uncompromising standard of MS, so then when it comes to consequential contexts, he just doesn't have that habit and discipline of precision, of hakpada on emes. And then think of the military analogy, then the consequences can really be very, very serious. Let's add perhaps one other perspective on emes. David HaMelech says in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, Sheker Sonesi Vo'asta Eva, I hate. I hate falsehood. I find it something despicable. Tarascha Ohavti. Literally, again, I love your Torah. Says the Malbim, the Pshat and the Pasuk is as follows. The Pasuk is explaining cause and effect. David HaMelech says, as we know earlier, Moa Hafti Sarasacha. I love your Torah. It's my passion. It's my raison d'etre. It's a love that knows no boundaries. Kol hayom yisichasi. Says the Malbim, Acha shetarasko ahavti shehi kula emes. Moshe emes v'saraso emes. Tzidkoscho tzedek la'olam v'saraso emes. Acha shetarasko ahavti shehi kula emes. I efsho od she o ahav es ha-sheker. Since I love your Torah, it's impossible that I should love sheker, because on the contrary, ki ha'oev davar yisnas ha'menaged lo. Right? That's intuitive. If a person genuinely loves goodness, he has to hate evil. If I look in the mirror and I see that I can tolerate evil, so that's an indication that I don't love good. Because the flip side of ahava is the ultimate rejection, which comes in the form of hatred, of its antithesis. If I genuinely love good, that entails a hatred of evil. And to the degree that I'm sovel ra, not that I do it, Rahman al-Islam, but even to the degree that I tolerate it, even to the degree that it doesn't offend me, so then there's a self-revelation there for myself, that I don't really love good. You know, MS and Sheker I'm not measured. In terms of, again, the commitment to MS, the love of MS, the rejection of Sheker, in this context, there's no little MS and big MS. There's no different shades and different colors of Sheker. If I love Torah, which is Kula MS, and then Memela Sheker Sonesi Vasaeva, it means any sheker, any stia min ha-emes, any divergence from emes is intolerable to someone who has avas ha-Torah. To repeat the same truth with a different emphasis. To cultivate Ahavas Torah, authentic Ahavas Torah, not a superficial Ahavas Torah. I think they tell the story of the Satmar Rebbe, that one year, Purim, so the Chassidim made a Purim spiel. So they imitated him. And apparently one of the Chassidim did a very good imitation. And the Rebbe was sitting there crying. So people didn't know what to make of it. What he was offended. He was offended that they were making fun of him on Purim. And I mean, obviously he was a great mensch. Obviously he was far above that. And he said, when I saw, so they asked him. For Pishron Shel Dvarim. And he said, when I saw how well you were able to imitate and how real, how much it resembled what I do, so it made me think that maybe I'm also acting the same way the one doing the spiel was acting. Acting in the shakling, acting in how the Divrei Torah are given. So it can be presented that way and just as an act. So maybe that's all I'm doing. Maybe I'm acting also. We always need to know whether what we think is real, or maybe it's a very good act. Maybe we're imitating ourselves, imitating the selves that we want to be, but maybe aren't yet. That's a good question that we should ask ourselves on a regular basis. So let's say we pose that question in terms of Ahavas Torah. I think I do, but maybe I'm acting. Maybe it's an act. Maybe it's like the spiel. So one bezos tibachenu, one bezos nibachen, is: am I emistic outside of Torah, outside of learning? Am I emistic? Emistic in. Little things. I don't know. Does my message on my voicemail say I'll call you back as soon as possible? And if it does say that, do I really call back as soon as possible? When I go into a store, and the proprietor tells me, you know, well, if you pay cash, so then there's a different price. So do I go along with that? And even if I resist the temptation to go along with it, am I offended? by that sheker? Well, no, I don't do it. I don't do it. I'll pay the sales. I'll pay the sales tax. Do I ever misrepresent things? Even when I tell myself that I'm doing it for the greater good. But in Yahadus, the ends don't justify the means. If I do any of those things, then I should cry during the Purim Shvil. Like the Satmar Rebbe cried. Because that means that I'm imitating the self that I want to be. I'm not being that self. Sheker sonei sivo asa eva, lashon toeva, tarascha hafte. David HaMelech had a genuine, deep, abiding love for Torah. And Mela, he hated sheker in any form, in any size, in any color. If we want to be mevakshei Torah, so we need to be makbid on emes in every context. Okay, if someone puts you into a time tunnel, and you're sent back to Tsarist Russia. Well, I don't know. So if everything you're dealing with around you is shakronim, okay. So one has to find out what the rules of engagement are. But we don't live in that world. We don't live in that society. And whatever the correct and legitimate rules of engagement were in that society are not relevant. Whatever exceptions were legitimate and warranted in that society, we're not living there. We're not living there. And if I'm not emistic, if I don't have this uncompromising commitment to emis, which I don't look to consistently adhere to, it taints every Seder. It taints every Seder. And because of that, there can never be a trade-off. So I'll look the other way at the lack of emes, because I'll get, I think, some spiritual dividend in return. My children will get some spiritual dividend in return. No, the lack of emes means that there's something inauthentic about my Torah. It taints my Torah. Because Torah is bakoshas emes. Torascha ahavti means I love emes. I love Torah. I love emes. Are equivalent expressions. They're equivalent commitments. They're equivalent credos. And there's no such thing as I can cut the corners. I can look the other way. I can accept a trade-off. A person can't be 80% committed to MS. If I say something which is 80% accurate and 20% inaccurate, so then I didn't speak the truth. There's no partial credit in truth. A person has to be kulo MS. And we have a capacity. It's not so Not so difficult. Not so difficult. It just has to be a number one priority. And it becomes the way we end up being mezalzel and emes is when we think that we should be prioritizing other things. First, I have to ensure A, B, and C. And after doing that, if I can be totally emistic, I'll be totally emistic. No, the lack of MS taints A, B, and C. So there is no A, B, and C before MS. So we need to understand that a commitment to being emistic, to being honest in all areas, from what seemed to us the most inconsequential to the most consequential, a person needs that commitment to be emesdic. And then I can try to learn authentic Torah. Then I can try to cultivate a genuine Avos HaTorah. A good Shabbos, Rav Ossai. Everyone should be well. Be safe, Be'ezus Hashem.